Second Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, verse 1, by the way, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. All right. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, obviously there's a lot of things to be talked about. There's some wonderful things in this passage of Scripture that we look at. We find out that the Bible tells us, the Peter the Apostle, who wrote 1 and 2 Peter, we see that he considered the epistles written by the Apostle Paul as Scripture. So the Bible bears witness of that. And that's part of how we find our canon of Scripture, is that the Lord Jesus and the apostles bore witness of what constituted the Word of God. And so those things that are there, that are written and talked about, they're clear. And so then when we look at that also, we see a wonderful thing of the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. You hear me talk about that a lot. I like to talk about that. There's two passages in here that I quote a lot. One is, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, right? And the other is, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Savior Jesus Christ, at the end of this chapter. Those are two verses that stick with me, so I quote them a lot. And I quote them because I like them. And God's people don't like them. But the simple fact is that there's two statements in this passage that I want to focus on, and I guess if I were to put a title to the sermon, I would say, remember and beware. Remember and beware. So it's going to be a very simple, straightforward message. But notice something. He said in verse 1, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And then he goes on and talks about mankind's wickedness and mankind's ignorance and being willingly ignorant, and the fact that they're scoffers, and people would walk after their own lust. But he tells us to remember. He tells us to remember the words of the prophets and the apostles. He said, I wrote this to stir up your minds. If you were to look at the book of 1 and 2 Peter, particularly 2 Peter, there's a clear idea of remembrance. Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So he's telling them, he said, hey, I'm writing this so I can stir up your mind to remember. One of the biggest things, victories that we will ever have, and the biggest path to victory as a Christian, is just to remember God's word. Remember what God says. We ought to be the type of people that when temptation comes, we remember God's word. When trouble comes, we remember God's word. We're supposed to remember. We have a world that does not remember. We have a world that scoffs. We know that. He tells us about that. There should come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then he tells them they're willingly ignorant of the flood and the things that happened. But that is exactly what we're teaching in our schools. We're teaching scoffing at the Bible. We're teaching it to the children, and they're being taught by people that they think they can trust, and those people are deceived, and they're deceiving and being deceived and all those things like that. And so they say, well, everything's the same. See, it's always been the same. And it hasn't always been the same. Things are not continuing as they were from the creation. God created everything and it was very good. Is everything very good now? No, it's not very good, is it? Why? Because of the fall of man. And the world is under a curse because of the fall of man. And we see the effects of that curse daily. We pick up the newspaper and we see, or we go on the news, and they're talking about there was a robbery here, there was a broken home there, there was somebody murdered here. Go down the list. We see that not everything's the same. The problem is because we've forgotten. The scoffers have forgotten. And the Bible tells us, don't be a scoffer, don't be like that. We're supposed to be believers, not scoffers. You say, well, I'm not a scoffer, I'm a believer. Well, then live like a believer. Don't You know, it amazes me how many times as a pastor, I try to talk to people, and I don't generally, most of the time, just like Peter, I'm not telling anybody, and while I'm preaching, I'm not telling you what you don't know. I'm telling you what you do know. I'm trying to remind you of what you do know. But I talk to Christians that are in trouble and having problems and everything like that. And I talk to people and I say to them, I say, well, you know, the Bible says this. And they know the Bible says that. But they have made up their mind that somehow that won't work for them. If they do it God's way, it won't work for them. If they forgive, it won't work for them. If they go ahead and do what they know is right, regardless of what it may cost them, because they made a commitment, or whatever the case may be, it won't work for them. I could go down the list of all types of things, of things that people do. People handling their money. Well, I can't do that. It won't work for me. Thought you were a believer, not a scoffer. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not hard to figure this thing out. A believer believes, a scoffer scoffs. A believer trusts. And so we're talking about that. We know what's coming, that there's going to be a judgment of this world, but it's going to be a judgment of fire, not a judgment of water. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And we also know that the Lord is long-suffering, don't we? We know He's gracious. A lot of times we get focused on ourselves and not focused on everybody else. You know, I may live, I just turned 60 last February, and be honest with you, sometimes I wonder if I'd ever make it to 60. And I don't wonder if I may not make it to 70. And I may not make it to 80. If I make it to 70, I may not make it to 80. And good, it's good chance that I won't make it to 90. I mean, it's almost sure bet I won't make it to 100. Now, I don't know that. I might live to be 120 years old. Who knows? That's a long time to live, isn't it? But the simple fact is, we don't know these things, but I know what's coming. And I understand. I've seen a lot of things, and but one thing I do know, that God's word is true. Amen. I know that it doesn't matter how many years, that God is gracious, God is good. He's not slack concerning His promise. I'm going to go into the jail tonight, Lord willing, and I'm going to try to tell people about Jesus. And I may live a long time in this world, and I may have to suffer a lot of things before everything's said and done. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it for those people to get a chance to go to heaven. It'll all be taken care of, but God's not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. Just because God is merciful doesn't mean He's weak. He's long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that, right? These are things we know. And He reminds us again, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We should be looking and hastening for unto the day of our God. Looking for that day when all sin is erased from this world and we have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And He said, you know, we know these things. That we look for such things. And He says in verse 15, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. One of the reasons I know and am sure of my salvation is because God has been true to His word about His mercy toward this world. I see His mercy every day. I see that His mercies, like Jeremiah said, when the Babylonians were coming in and destroying the city and killing people and maiming and all the things that were going in and the women ravished and things that happened in that time in the horror of the Babylonian invasion. And He said, Thy mercies are new every morning. He could see what was happening in front of His eyes, but He also could see and see the hand of God. All of that was going on with those people and with the Jews at that time was the judgment that God told them was coming because of their sin was now here. And He said, Thy mercies are new every morning. And then verse 17, after telling them to remember, He gives them another warning. He said, Ye, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know what's happened. You know what's happening. You know what's going on in the world. You have insight into the very plans and the very mind of Christ, the mind of God, as to what He's doing. You've been told before. He said, Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then He tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I just want to say to you right now, as we look at this and we understand this, notice what He says. Beware. Beware what? Lest ye, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So that means the error of the wicked is a danger to us. We're to beware of it. The error of the wicked, the failure. And we see it, don't we? Do you not see Christians that act just like the world? I was talking about it a while ago. I've talked to people all the time, and you can quote the Bible to them until you're blue in the face, but it means nothing. They continue to doubt God. They doubt His Word. They've been led away with the error of the wicked. They have become scoffers. Psalm 1 tells us, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his leaf in his season. His fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then he says, The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And we could go on and talk about it, but there's the warning there. Of walking in the fellowship of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and when he says standing in the way, he doesn't mean standing in your way to resist them. He's talking about standing and walking in the same way they're going, same attitude, same thoughts. And he said, "Are sitting in the seat of the scornful." The scornful is the scoffer. God help any professing Christian that looks at God's Word and scoffs at it. We ought to look at the Word of God and believe it. And granted, I understand, our frame is dust and everything like that, but at some point, in order to get the victory, the only way to get the victory is to believe. So we're supposed to remember. And we're supposed to beware. Remember the Word of God and beware. Realize that we're sinners saved by grace. There's a draw back to the world. That old flesh, until our redemption is complete, that flesh is going to be drawn back to the world. We have influences and others that will try to influence us for ungodliness. Have you ever lost a friend because of the Word of God? I've lost a heap of them. I've lost friends among professing Christians because of the Word of God. And so would anybody who stands with the Word of God, because the minute you find somebody who doesn't want to stand with the Word of God, then there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a division in there. I didn't stop being their friend, even though I may not fellowship with them. But I tell you what, if you want to stand with the Word of God, there's a lot of people that just aren't going to fellowship with you at all. It's just the truth. It's easy to be led away with the error of the wicked. It doesn't have necessarily mean an unsaved person. It might be a saved person. There's a lot of things that people do, and people put things, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's go with that one. How many people have made a choice for their family over God, or husband and wife over God, or job over God, the government over God? I mean, there's thousands of examples, aren't there? But we're told to remember and beware. Remember God's word and don't be like the world. Beware lest their scoffing lead you away. You get led away with the error of the wicked. Same mistake. Now let me just close with this. We wouldn't be warned about something that wasn't possible. You know, if there were a rattlesnake outside the door, and I knew there was a rattlesnake outside that door, I would not warn you about the rattlesnake if there was no risk of you being bitten. You say, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, if the rattlesnake was buried underneath the concrete, I wouldn't warn you about him because he can't do you any harm, can he? But if he was just coiled up outside the door, then I better warn you, right? God warns us here. He's not warning us because there's not a danger. He's warning us because there is a danger. So this week, let's remember God's word and beware. Watch your attitudes. Don't get led away with the error of the wicked. Don't make the same mistake they do. Don't be the scoffer when it comes to God's word. When you read something in the Bible, and it's a little hard to swallow because maybe you're on the wrong side of it, don't become a scoffer. Believe God's word. Father, we thank you for everything you've given. I pray you'd bless each one here today. I pray you'd help us to remember your word the way we ought to. Bless your people as we go today. Father, help us to remember your word. Help us to see and understand the error of the wicked and beware of it. Help us to see the danger that it poses and the damage it could cause. Lord, help us to believe your word and trust you above all. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.